and we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would just believe what you say. And it's a hard thing, Lord. We struggle in unbelief. We struggle, and we pray, Lord, that we would see this, and that we would see what you want us to see here, and have our hearts, Lord, have our hearts be open to your words this morning, and that we may better walk with thee. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, last week, looks like Jesus just cast this devil out. That's where we left off. Jesus cast the devil out of the child after rebuking the multitude of people and this man that came to him for help for being faithless. Faithless, that's having no faith, right? And perverse. And again, when you have not the faith that comes from the Word of God, you're faithless. And that causes you to become perverse. And not only your thinking, but also in your actions. And that's why this father chose to go to the disciples first instead of Jesus. When a person finally realizes that no man or woman is able to help them, they'll go to Jesus. They'll go to Jesus. And he is able to help with any problem, folks, with any problem that we have. And we looked up some verses on fasting last week in the Old Testament, and we found that the fast that the Lord has chosen was for somebody else's well-being, for somebody else's, to help somebody else, and not our own, and not our own. And Jesus fasted for others, and you'll see in the Bible, look at King Darius with Daniel. He fasted for Daniel because he didn't want him to die in that lion's den. And God delivered Daniel. But there's an unsaved man fasting for somebody else. That's found in Daniel 6:14. So when we fast, what is our reasoning? What is our reasoning? Verse 19. The Bible says, then came, Matthew 17:19. The Bible says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. And so here we have the disciples inquiring of Jesus why they couldn't perform this miracle on this man. And what does Jesus do? He rebukes them. He rebukes them. He rebukes them for their unbelief. Not only did he rebuke the man and the multitude, but he rebukes his disciples. He rebukes his disciples. Hey, do you know what man's problem isn't, folks? A man has no problem believing that chair will hold him up. He has no problem believing that the man that built that chair built it strong enough to hold him up. Man has no problem believing that a parachute, when he jumps out of a plane, will keep him from falling like a rock and hitting the ground. And man has no problem then jumping out of that airplane, trusting, believing that the man that packed his chute packed it correctly so that it'll open when he jumps out of that plane. And so, but when it comes to the Word of God, man just has a problem believing what God said. And he just has a hard time believing the Scriptures. And God said, this is the fast that I have chosen. And the disciples, they're Jews. They had the Old Testament Scriptures. Why weren't they fasting that way? And so they couldn't help this man. When this man needed help, they didn't believe the Word of God, or they would have did the Word of God. And Jesus rebukes them, says it's because of your unbelief. Hey, if you don't believe that God will save you without your good works, you'll keep on doing your good works. If you think that salvation has to do with your good works, you'll do them. You'll do them. But if you do believe what God said about His saving grace, you'll call on Him. You'll trust Him without any good that you can do. Right? I guarantee you, folks, if you didn't think the chute would open, you wouldn't jump out of that plane. I was up there. And I'm thinking, oh man, I just signed my life away on this paperwork. What if the chute doesn't open? There's a possibility that if it doesn't open, it happens all the time. And people fall and bounce. They call it bouncing. Because when you hit that ground, you bounce up probably 20 feet. But I didn't jump out until I believed that parachute was going to open, folks. If you didn't believe that that chair would hold you up, I guarantee you, you wouldn't sit in it. And you know why it's hard for saved people to live the Christian life? We all have the problem, folks. It's unbelief. Unbelief in the promises of God. Unbelief in the Word of God. They don't believe what God says. And so they never applied what He said. They never lived by faith. If you don't believe what God says, you'll never be able to say, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You'll just never do it. And that's found in Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know what Jesus is getting ready to tell His disciples? Let's look in verse 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's what He's saying to them. Hey, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, right? If you believe the Scriptures, is this what He's saying to the disciples? If you would have believed the Scriptures, then you would have been able to help this man. But because you didn't believe the Scriptures, had you believed the Scriptures, your actions would have been manifested and you would have been able to help this man. But they didn't. They had unbelief. And that's found in Isaiah 58, right? We read that one. And your actions, and you would have been able to testify by the Scriptures that and give glory to God, whom glory is due. Because you'd have been able to point and said, that's the reason why this devil came out. Nothing that I did. I just believe God. And that's faith. Hey, if you don't believe God, if God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and you don't believe, you don't do that, right? You won't do it if you don't believe. But if you believe, then that's faith comes in and you get that faith. It works in your life. And these guys, the faith never, they never got that faith. It was unbelief. They never got the faith to help that man. And it didn't work it out. It didn't work. Didn't work in them because they didn't believe. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, you'll do it. You'll believe. If you don't, you won't. And so, an unbeliever, when you stand before your Maker, right? When you stand before God and ask, why can't we be with you in eternity? What is these disciples asking? Why couldn't we cast this devil out? When you ask, why can't we be with you in eternity? And you know what Jesus is going to say? Because of your unbelief. And you're going to ask the question, if you're unsaved, you're going to ask it someday. You're going to hear the same thing these disciples heard. And I know it's redundant, folks. Last week we saw the unbelief of the multitude and this man with this devil-possessed child. And this week it's the disciples. And you're probably like, man, this is the same thing over and over and over again. Right? But look at what Jesus had to deal with. The unbelief of the scribes, the unbelief of the Pharisees, the unbelief of the multitudes, the unbelief of the disciples, and they were with him. They were with Jesus. And isn't that our problem today? Hey, Bible says sin no more hath dominion over us. Yet we keep sinning. Do we really believe the scriptures? Do we really believe that verse? That's why I'm saying, when we get to heaven and we see Jesus, we're going to realize that he's God. And we're not going to want to sin anymore. We're not going to want to do that stuff anymore. We'll have a different body. Yeah, I know. I mean, we're going to be completely redeemed. I'm just saying, you're not going to want to do those things, folks. Verse 21. And I'm not going to want to do the things that I do wrong. Verse 21. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You know, Baptists have a great way of pointing out faults with other religions and other Bibles and things like that. And we should point these things out. But we have a problem pointing out the errors with other Bibles and showing how they remove this word, how they remove that word. But how about pointing out the errors in our own lives? Right? With the perfect Bible that we have. How about pointing out the unbeliefs that we have with the Scriptures and why we don't do the things that God wants us to do? And hey, how about believing every word of God? Are we believing every word of God? Do our actions show that we believe the Word of God? And we can say that the King James Bible is the Word of God all we want. But if we don't believe every word of God, and folks, you show your belief by your actions. I'm telling you, it's in the Bible. Really, we're no better off than those that remove the words. We're no better off than those that remove whole verses. And you're going to see this with the disciples here in a few seconds. And how about this one? Huh? For us Bible believers? Isn't that something? Guilty. Now, look at what Jesus does. He rebukes the disciples, and now look at what he does. He says again to his disciples what Peter said, or what he said to Peter and the disciples back in one chapter earlier. And look at their reaction. You're going to see it right now. Verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorry, and then all of a sudden they became exceedingly glad. That's not what the Bible says, though. They were exceedingly sorry. And the Bible doesn't mention anything about them being glad, but only that they were sorry. Now let me ask you, does their reaction to what Jesus said to them really show that they believed every word that Jesus just said to them? If Jesus said that they shall kill him, and he ended the sentence, I could understand the disciples being sorry. But he's given them the gospel of the good news again, folks. Again. And he says, he ended with, and the third day he shall be raised again. They should have been rejoicing. I could see him being sad while he was saying it, but then right at the end when he said the other words, they should have been rejoicing. Hey, Jesus is coming back. You can't keep a good man down. Right? But they're not rejoicing. Again, our reaction to the Word of God will prove whether you believe all the scriptures or some of the scriptures. Are we any better off than those that take the words away? The disciples, they believe part of Jesus, the part of him being killed, but their reaction shows that they didn't believe the part about him being raised from the third day. And here's the proof. Because if they would have believed it, who would have been waiting at the tomb on the third day? Verse 24. Isn't the Bible something, folks? The Bible exposes all of our hearts. And we all have a problem with unbelief. The disciples said, "Hey, Lord, we believe, I believe. Help our unbelief." The same thing. They believed it, but they didn't believe it. Verse 24, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. And when they were come to Capernaum," verse 24, "they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth your master pay tribute? Doth your master pay tribute?" Now, folks, here's a great lesson that every one of us can learn. And if you know it, then hopefully you can remember it, right? When somebody asks you a question about somebody else, the best answer that you can give is to politely state that the person that you're asking this question about is most definitely in a better position to answer questions about himself. And you would appreciate it if they could address the question to whom the question is about. And you'll save yourself from putting your foot into your mouth. Hey, Peter has good intentions, folks. It seems like he always has good intentions. But women, men have a problem with their mouths constantly opening it. We all do. And when we should keep our mouth shut or have the question redirected. But he has good intentions, and he's trying to protect the reputation of Jesus by answering what he believes, folks, to be right. He believes to be this the right answer that he's given these people that are collecting tribute. Even though, and we've seen before, Peter has no idea what he's talking about. He has no idea what he's talking about. He hasn't got a clue whether Jesus pays tribute or not. But he believes that to be the right answer, and he wants to protect Jesus. He doesn't want Jesus going to the cross. And he doesn't want Jesus to be accused of not paying tribute. Now, had he have redirected that question from these guys to go to Jesus, and which, folks, these guys, they're not stupid. They go to the weak link here. I mean, don't think that these guys haven't heard that how Jesus put the Pharisees in their place, how Jesus put the Sadducees in their place. These guys are probably scared to death to go to Jesus and ask him any question. And if they did, Jesus would have probably said, hey, he would have probably asked them a question and that they couldn't answer. And he would say, neither tell I thee. That's how Jesus was. I mean, he would ask these guys questions to shut their mouths. But, folks, people in any type of authority, and you see this everywhere you go, whether it's policemen, detectives, any type of leader in the workforce, they never go to those that have proven to be smarter than them. They always go to the ones that they don't think are so smart. It's just, hey, people want answers, they go to the dumb people. Because they're not smart enough to keep their mouth shut. And that's our problem in life. And we got to learn to hey, somebody asking a question about somebody, why don't you go ask him or go ask her? They'll tell you. I'm sure they'll tell you if they really want to. And so that's that lesson there. Verse 25. He saith, yes. Here's Peter's answer. He says, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Listen, folks, Peter knew, even Peter, the fisherman that he was, he knew it was right for him to pay tribute. He knew it was right for John to pay tribute. He knew it was right for the Jews, certain Jews, to pay tribute. And he knew by the question that Jesus just asked that kings, the only people that weren't to pay any tribute were the kings of the earth's blood relatives, their children. He knew that. Why? Because, folks, those that rule over others can impose whatever they feel they want on their subjects to do. Yes? I think your question's going to be answered. We're going to see that. Let's just keep moving on. But anyway, God warned Israel all the way back in 1 Samuel chapter 8 about having a king like the other nations, and guess what? They didn't heed his warning. And they got what they wanted. And now they're under a different king here. And Peter knew that it was his responsibility, folks, to do that. And that's why he answered Jesus this way. Do you realize that every one of us have a king over us? How many of us vote for the president every year or every 4 years? I'm just asking. They say pay your taxes, folks. It's right to pay your taxes. And or type of custom, whatever custom they want to put on you, or whatever type of tribute that they want to pay on you, and you need to give it. And that is why, folks, that if you don't pay your taxes, that you're going to wind up in jail if you're caught. And it won't matter, folks, how many Bible verses that you're going to throw at the judge. He doesn't care. And he shouldn't care. He shouldn't care. The children of this world, folks, are wiser than the children of light. Peter knew, folks, that he was under higher powers, and so did Paul. Look at Romans 13. Just go read that. And don't be mad at me, folks. I didn't write the Bible. Romans 13. I didn't write Romans 13 here. The Bible says in Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist receive to them damnation. You want to know what it's like to be in hell? Be locked up, never not get out, till your debt is paid? Don't pay your taxes, and you're going to receive damnation. You'll receive it on this earth. You may go to heaven when you die in jail, right? You'll go to heaven, but you're going to be in trouble on this earth. And so again, folks, I didn't write the Bible. Now, what is this tribute money for? and who required a tribute. And we know when we read the Old Testament, if you would go with me to Numbers 28. Verse 31. Is it 31? I don't see the word tribute there. Did I write the wrong verse down? It might be. Let me look. Yeah. Wow, isn't that something? Praise the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the sum of the prey that was taken, both of man and of beast, thou and Eleazar the priest, and the chief fathers of the congregation, and divide the prey into two parts between them that took the war upon them, who went out to battle, and between all the congregation, and levy a tribute unto the Lord. So we see that the Lord has a tribute. Isn't that something? Go with me, if you would, to Exodus. Exodus 30. And hopefully we see what Jesus asked Peter here. Exodus 30. Verse 11. Hopefully I wrote this one down right. You know, when you're going through stuff, it's easy to get a number backwards. Exodus 30, verse 11. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. And we found out what a tribute was. It was a gift unto the Lord, right? A ransom for a soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give every one that passes among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. Gerahs? And half shekel shall be offered, be an offering of the Lord. Everyone that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than a half shekel. When they give an offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls, and thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. And so every male had to pay this. Every male past 20 had to pay a religious payment. It's a religious payment. Every year they were supposed to do this. And it doesn't matter how rich you were, doesn't matter how poor you were, it was the same for all males past the age of 20, and it's based on the law, folks. It's based on the law. And this was for the support of the tabernacle and later for the temple, 2 Chronicles 24:6. Here's Joash, verse 4. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and Levites and said to them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hastened it not. The people, they weren't doing what God said. They weren't collecting this money. And Joash says, you need to get out there and collect it. The house of God is in disarray and we need to repair this. And the king called for Jehoiada, the chief, and said unto him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? Everybody sees this thing is in ruins. People weren't keeping up the house of God. They weren't giving what they were supposed to give. Folks, the Bible just comes alive when you believe it, right? So now do you see why Jesus asked Peter about the children of the kings of the earth? The royal family of a king do not pay tribute to the king, but his subjects do. Should God's son pay tribute for the God for the house of God? Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 17, verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. And folks, Jesus, he always leads by example. What a great leader. What a great Savior. But he always leads by example. And so he's leading by example here. And what he says is that for you to do more than you have to do for the benefit of somebody else. That's what he says. So that we aren't an offense to them. And to maintain a good testimony amongst his people. And what are we supposed to do? Romans 14, 14:21. We're not to do anything that would cause our brother in Christ. We're not to do anything that would cause our sister in Christ to stumble or to be offended. And that's what Jesus is teaching. He's leading by example. And are we under the law, folks? No, we're not under the law. Can we eat anything we want besides blood? Yes, we can. But what if you're out to dinner with a Catholic on Friday and he believes that he can't eat red meat or eat certain types of meat on Friday, and the only thing he can really eat that's of any type of flesh is fish. Are you going to order a pork chop sandwich? Hey, folks, I went to these restaurants with these BP guys. Well, 90% of them are Catholic. And the only thing that they would eat on Fridays was fish. And that's what we ate. My dad even knows this one. Don't order a pork chop sandwich on Fridays. Here's the fish. Order the fish. But I want this, Dad. No, order that. I'm just saying, folks, we don't want to offend people. How are you ever going to witness to somebody if you're eating a pork chop sandwich? How are you going to witness to them? 1 Corinthians 9, and we're almost done. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. The Bible says, this is Paul. Be followers of me as I am of Christ. For though I be free from all men, Yet have I made myself servant to all, unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jew I became a Jew. I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. Why go the extra mile? That's the common saying, right? Go the extra mile. Jesus says, hey, go 2 miles with them or whatever it was. But why do we do more? To gain the more for the gospel's sake. And verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Some people are going to listen to the witness about Christ and get saved. Why? Not because you ate the pork chop sandwich. Jesus leads by example, folks. So we should go that extra mile, do more than we have to save some. Now look at how Jesus handled this situation. We'll be done. He says something to Peter, who's a fisherman, and we never see any account of anybody in the New Testament fishing with a hook. But he says to Peter, he's a commercial fisherman. Folks, people in commercial businesses do things on mass scales. They don't just fish with a single hook. They fish with nets, right? Okay, he says to Peter that that's never happened to him before. And so the Bible doesn't say whether Peter did this or not, but I believe that he did, folks. And I kind of wonder how long Peter had to sit out there. Folks, I go fishing sometimes, and I think, man, I'm going to get skunked. And as soon as I say that, bam, fish on. But I wonder if Peter just sat out there all day, and just when he thought he was going to get skunked for the day, bam. And I guarantee you, the first thing he did was open up that fish's mouth to see if there was a shekel in there. Hey, folks, with God, all things are possible. Amen? We'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, may we just believe them. I believe, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. How can we say that in the same sentence? How can that be said if there wasn't some portions that we just didn't believe? And we thank you, Lord, that there's coming a day that we're going to believe everything you said with a perfect heart and a perfect mind, and we're just going to be glad that you said it. And Father, we pray for the services today that you would just bless them today, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.